In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Question 73. How can we keep from committing sin? We can keep from committing sin by praying, by receiving the sacraments, by remembering that God is always with us, by recalling that our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost, by keeping occupied with work or play, by promptly resisting the sources of sin within us, by avoiding the near occasions of sin. Please note that in this question, each of these means to keep us from committing sin are in a certain order. Prayer, that's number one. Nothing will keep us out of prayer quite like sin. Quite like prayer, excuse me. And then to receive the sacraments frequently. Frequently means it's different for different people, but the quickest way to go to heaven, according to St. Pius X, one of our great modern popes, is to receive Holy Communion and to go to confession frequently. Thirdly, to remember that God is always with us. And I'd like to add to that that He sees us. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He sees what we see. He hears what we hear. Fourthly, to remember our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost. To just even call that to mind on a daily basis can really help. Fifthly, this is a wonderful one, keep busy with work or play. That is so important. You've heard the old phrase, idleness is the devil's workshop. How true that is. Sixthly, to resist temptations. To put up a fight, to make the sign of the cross when they come our way, to flee to Our Lady. And lastly, to avoid near occasions of sin. And they have up in the marquee there of an old movie theater, bad movie. Well, that's for sure. Some of these things, they simply have to be avoided. If we don't avoid them, we will fall. Question 74. What are the chief sources of actual sin? The chief sources of actual sin are pride, covetousness, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, and sloth. And these are commonly called capital sins. The capital sins are the chief roots of sin. They are inclinations in our will to go against God's will in different ways. Capital in this sense from the Latin word capita, meaning head. And by the way, I should say at this point, the word envy is somewhat misunderstood. Many people tend to mix it up with jealousy, say. But the sin of envy is essentially taking joy in another's fall and being sad at another's success. So that's quite different than being jealous, which is very much allied to the root word zealous. Jealousy is even a good thing. God himself says, I am a jealous God. He says that several times in the Old Testament. The seven capital sins are also called the seven deadly sins. Father John Hardin once called them the seven basic human tendencies. If you're a human being, you have these tendencies, these inclinations deep down in you. Number 75. Why are these called capital sins? They are called capital sins not because they in themselves are the greatest sins, but because they are the chief reasons why men commit sin. Number 76, the occasions of sin. What are the near occasions of sin? The near occasions of sin are all persons, places, or things that may easily lead us into sin. Persons, bad companions. Come with us. There's a little cartoon there with bad companions. It's obviously a bad boy saying, hey, hang out with us. Places, let's go in this candy store. They have dirty magazines. things. These are my father's cigarettes, but he told me not to smoke. I'm too young. We are strictly obliged to avoid all near occasions of sin. Otherwise, it shows God that we are willing to hurt him to please ourselves. There's a quote there from the book of Sirach. He who loves danger will perish in it. I should add about bad companions. If you're married or just about to have kids, pray for your children that they might have good companions. If they can have good companions, that will solve so many difficulties in their young lives. Good companions, good friends, that's a great thing for parents to pray for. If they have bad companions, then it is likely that they will fall into all kinds of sins and problems. You know, it's interesting that the first thing the Catechism teaches about sin is to try to avoid the occasions for it, be they persons, places, or things. And the first one mentioned is persons. I know this sounds harsh, but it is true. Say you're a married man, but if you're hanging out with a group of divorced men whose attitude towards women is bitter, scornful, and resentful, you're in trouble. If you are at all inclined to be irritated with your wife, their attitude will tend to rub off on you. You might not be able to avoid them entirely, such as at the lunch break at work, but you do not have to go to play pool with them. The same goes with women. There are plenty of women around that have a terrible attitude about men. They are to be avoided carefully. We're at the end of Lesson 6 now, and the prayer to be memorized for this lesson is the Glory Be. And the habit that you need to acquire is get a crucifix, a good crucifix, one that really moves you, one that moves your soul to repentance, to the adoration of God. And have it blessed by the priest, and then hang it someplace in the home, in a prominent place, so that anybody who comes in will know that you're a Roman Catholic. As is usual with the other lessons, do try to read those sections from the Holy Bible, which may be found on page 45. Let us begin the seventh lesson, which is the Incarnation. Question 70, or I should say at the beginning of this lesson, and we're on page 46 here, it's the Incarnation. It says, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. The very word incarnation, the root word there, carne, means flesh. So incarnate, God going into flesh, if you will. Question 77. Did God abandon man after Adam fell into sin? God did not abandon man after Adam fell into sin, but promised to send into the world a Savior to free man from his sins and to reopen to him the gates of heaven. So he did not abandon us. In fact, one of the greatest blessings of all for the Hebrews was having children, which God granted to Adam and Eve even after the fall. This was immediately after the exile. They're kicked out of paradise. We were kicked out of paradise. But then blessings start to come immediately, different blessings. And the first of these was to have children.